expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. If you have a question or would like to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And today is a Tuesday, a little bit of politics. I have Eric Kordecki. Eric, how do we pronounce your last name?
It's Cordero Georgiana, but usually Cordero is just fine.
Eric Cordero. Okay, I'm just going to go EC. Eric Cordero, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You're calling in from where, Anchorage, Palmer, Wasilla?
Today I'm calling from Palmer.
Okay, and that's where you live?
That's where I live. Been here for 21 years.
And you're with the Alaska Policy Forum.
Yes, sir. I'm the Vice President of Operations. I started just over 6 months ago, almost seven months ago, and it's been a great experience, and I love the job.
I met you a few times when you were a staffer down in Juneau.
Yes, that's correct. I was staffer for several House representatives over the years. I started in 2013. I took a little break in between to do some consulting. And then I returned in 2017 and just wore many hats. And so I've been staffed when we were members of the majority, and I've been staffed when we were members of the minority. But so that was the job I was doing before joining the Alaska Policy Forum.
What brought you over to the Alaska Policy Forum?
You know, it's an interesting question. Back when the Alaska Policy was advocating for school choice, I was a member of the Matsu School Board, and one of my main passions at the time was also school choice. And the Alaska Policy Forum was making presentations on charter schools and for students about charter schools. And so they were showing a movie. I believe the movie was called Waiting for Superman. And it was wonderful. I watched it, and then I just became a fan of the organization. And over the years, I read their briefs, their papers, their research, followed them on social media, and became an actual donor eventually. And so I just really loved the organization for many years. And then working for the legislature, Alaska Policy Forum was a great resource for information and data. I mean, and so when the opportunity came up, I applied for the job, and now I'm one of the five full-time staffers.
What does the Alaska Policy Forum do? What's your mission?
So the mission, it's going to sound cliche, but it's really we just care about continuously growing prosperity by maximizing opportunities and freedom in the state of Alaska.
Okay.
And we're a think tank. We are a state policy think tank, and we're members of the State Policy Network at the national level, one of 60 independent think tanks, actually more than 60. There are some organizations from different states. Some states have more than one, and there are some national organizations that are members too or affiliates, kind of like the Cato Institute or the Heritage Foundation or Recent Foundation, organizations like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one of those organizations, sometimes they focus on different areas, and information is shared between them. And so that's one of the wonderful things about being a member of the State Policy Network, is that We might have an organization that knows a lot about taxes, and then, you know, they will share the information and the data and the research that they've done. And likewise, there will be information about Alaska and Alaskan issues that other think tanks sometimes can use as a resource.
Okay. Well, heck.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you're working on now?
Oh, well, let me backtrack really
Certainly.
A little bit, if that's okay. So we were founding in 2009. We had a reboot in 2017 with new staff and a new board and focus. We're a 501c3. It's very important for folks to know that we do not accept any government or public funds, period. We're 100% funded by individual donors and businesses, and we promote or educate on bipartisan policy reform. We don't choose, sides. If it's a good policy, it's a good policy. If it's a bad policy, it's a bad policy. We focus on statewide issues, not the local level. And so unless it has an impact on a statewide issue, or same at the national level, I mean, if it has an impact on the statewide issue, then perhaps. So some of the issues that we're working on this year are state fiscal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that folks know what would our Alaska responsible budget would look like. And so for the last few years, we've had an expert, a national well-known economist, work with a staff member to develop a proposal on what a good budget would look like.
Good luck with that.
you just inform and hope for the best. And, you know, I think it's important for legislators and policymakers to have all the information available to them.
Yeah, it's interesting right now. You have their legislature is in basically the final 2 weeks, and they've not come up with a budget agreement between the House and the Senate. And again, you have the permanent fund dividend being the problem child, so to speak. The House wants 50-50, the Senate wants 25-75. Have you taken a look at that issue?
Not necessarily. For example, when we look at the numbers,
mm-hmm.
and what would be a good number that works for the state to be, first of all, let me use the word reasonable. It needs to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not cut, but we don't take sides on what needs to be cut or what needs to be increased. That's a political decision. We just provide the information on what we have in front of us and make a recommendation on what would be a good policy, but we don't actually take sides on specific bills.
Okay.
And we don't tell them what to cut or not to cut. So,
more education of what they're thinking. If you're doing this is what you're looking at.
Correct. And so as a think tank, we just provide data and information and education. It's up to the legislators, of course, to decide how they're going to use that data. And so for a responsible Alaska budget, like I said, it's been for a few years. And yes, it's unfortunate that they're still dealing with, they haven't passed the budget, but I think for the last few years, it's been like that.
Here you go again. It's a non-election year, so you're not getting out of Juneau early.
And you know, generally the last 2 days is when all the action happens.
Yeah.
And right now, as legislators wait for the budget, a lot of bills are now quickly moving through the process. So like really, really fast. And another thing that we do, for example, now that I'm mentioning bills moving fast, is we, this year, for the first time, we started a legislative opt-in newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
It's being received, and we concentrate on some policies each week. We issued every Tuesday, so tonight, for example, one's going to go out. And we just try to educate the public in general about policies that could impact Alaska and educate folks on how to testify. And here are some tips, and here are some public testimony opportunities that are coming up in the upcoming weeks. And this is how the budget works, and this is where we are in the process. So it's been well received, and it's just one of the things that we do to help educate.
Eric, we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay? And we'll be back in a few minutes. Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
7.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Daytime highs approaching 56. Today, under cloudy skies, winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, lows around 35. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, highs around 62. Low 60s Thursday, mid-60s Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Eric Cordero on the phone with me. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, thank you. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be your guest.
Oh, no problem. Hey, you know, this year, the white-collar unions really want to go back to a defined benefit program. And so the blue-collar unions with the state of Alaska. Did the Alaska Policy Forum do any research or review of what that would mean for the state to the state of Alaska?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, on our website, we just had information examining the pension reform that was promoted during the last sessions, what would have actually happened. And organizations that are members of the network, like in this case, the Reason Foundation, they've done a very thorough job at examining the policy and the impact you would have.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they have determined that based on the information that they received and the structure of the policies that the legislators are considering, that it would have a negative impact in the long term. But they also explain why, and they explain, how they arrive to those conclusions. And so we do have information on that, and we have provided it to the policymakers time and time again. And so in the past, our CEO, Bethany Markham, has testified on the issue. And again, we don't particularly say this bill or that bill. We just talk about the policy itself. And as far as we have seen, the way that the policies have been debated or discussed have created some concerns about stability and, you know, making sure that Alaska can actually afford it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that keeps showing up in the legislature every session.
Yeah, it came out in 2000. It was stopped in 2008, but every session, it right. seems like, you know, and you were down there for it when they always trying to reinsert it.
Right. And, you know, it's just like taxes. I think I remember for the last 2 years of the last legislature, I think it was 2021, 2022, there were like 30 or something policies being debated on taxes, different kinds of taxes.
Yeah.
And this, no exception, there are several pieces of taxation that are going through the process. And if you or your listeners want more information on pension reform and what would the impact be for Alaska, I would encourage them to go to our website, alaskapolicyforum.org. And we have from opinions to policy briefs to long papers and research that has that is available for everyone to see. And I believe a webinar too. There's some recording from last year, a webinar that talks about the impact of changing the, you know, reforming the pension for state employees.
With all the things that are going on down there, how many different tax structures or tax statutes are being vetted right now?
I would say about 10. I don't have the number in front of me, but
you always have an oil one or two or three or four or five.
Right. There are at least two oil taxes, one being discussed in the Senate and one in the House. They're actually different. There are some sales taxes. There's an income tax. Actually, there are several income taxes being discussed. And it's just fascinating how every year you'll see this. And they've had hearings, especially the oil taxes in the Senate. They've had multiple hearings and a lot of testimony. And it's just one of those things that makes you wonder, you know, about priorities and whether or not it would be good for Alaskans. Last October, the Tax Foundation, a national organization commissioned by Alaska Policy Forum, issued a very lengthy, thorough report on the impact of income or sales taxes in Alaska. And what that would mean in the short term, middle term, and long term, if something like that was implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very thorough. We have we actually have a webinar in which the author of the report, who's a national expert, made, and it was extremely well attended. And it's also in our website, and we have a policy brief that summarizes what the report says. And basically, it just says that the impact would be pretty bad. I mean, Alaskans already pay a lot more in federal taxes in comparison to other states. And so it's almost like that's an extra income tax. Because
mm-hmm.
in Alaska are much higher than other states, but that also means that because of that, you pay additional federal taxes. And just because they're higher doesn't really mean that we get to keep more money. Everything here is so much more expensive. So,
very true. Very true.
And one of the figures that, at least for me, was very interesting on that report is that even if they were to implement income taxes or sales taxes, it would barely make a dent on fixing the deficit.
Or bringing in more revenue to you know. I always tell people that, you know, even if they would have left the income tax in place, they would have spent all the money anyway. They just would have spent it.
When we talk about a responsible Alaska budget, whenever we look at what would be responsible, the legislature tends to go way beyond that.
And then my own personal view is if, let me get this straight, if you're trying to give me an income tax and keep a dividend in, all you're doing is doing a socialism redistribution of wealth. That's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. That's my personal thought. If you have a dividend and you try and put an income tax on me, no way.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, another thing that was interesting from that report is that actually a lot of states are getting rid of taxes or reducing taxes, personal taxes.
Unless you're in California. So they're reducing their population because of it.
For Alaska to consider, reestablishing an income tax, it would be, you know, just very different from what the rest of the country is doing.
Mm-hmm.
We already have a problem in Alaska with out migration, not enough jobs in some areas, occupational licensing, you know, it's so expensive here and just burdensome. And so there are so many things that an income tax would just make worse, at least based on the research that we have.
Yeah.
And you asked me earlier what are some of the policy things that we look at, and of course, I guess now you can guess now that taxes is one of them.
I would hope so. Yes.
Yeah. So taxes and, you know, one thing that we're also looking at is spending cap policies in places where they have established a spending cap. There has been an improvement on, you know, prioritizing where money goes and making sure that there's no deficit. I mean, not it's never perfect, of course, but it's just one of those things that could potentially have a very positive impact in the long term. And we'll also always look at spending transparency. One of the things that one of our analysts, our education analyst, has been doing is looking at, for example, the state of Alaska issues report on how much money has been spent by school districts on using COVID funds and what their balance looks like. A lot of people don't know that this information exists, and so that information is compiled, and we put it on our website, and it shows that there's quite a lot of money that has not been spent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just makes you wonder why sometimes they provide information saying that resources are not available, yet reports from the Department of Education show that there are some resources available. So spending transparency is a big deal. Alaska Policy Forum supports policies that will always allow for the public to have access at information, whether it's public employee salaries or online checkbooks that tells you how, you know, government is spending and where it's spending the money. Those are good policies.
Very good. Very good. Have you looked at any, the mineral industry's policies, such as gold, mineral extraction, things like that?
No, not specifically to that. I mean, the policies that are good for Alaska are the ones that help create jobs and make it less difficult for people to be able to work or invest and open businesses. And so when it comes to, of course, natural resources, you know, that's the bread and butter for the state and the main source of income for the state. And so any policies that are responsible, that make it easier for people to be, you know, to be able to work, it's common sense that you think those policies would move through the process fast or that they would be introduced, but unfortunately sometimes it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, very sad. How many people are with the Alaska Policy Forum?
How many people work?
Yeah, in Alaska, the Policy Forum.
Oh, so we're statewide, of course, and we have about 5 full-time employees. And one of them is, of course, I mentioned Bethany Markham is our CEO. Carmela Warfield is the vice president, executive vice president. I'm their vice president of operations. We have Quinn Townsend, who's a policy manager, and Sarah Montalbano, who's an education policy analyst. Sarah was interesting because she started as an intern, and now she's a full-time employee, and she's great about looking at the education policy issues. And Quinn also has such an expertise. I mean, I'm just honored to be working with such a team.
Okay.
We also have volunteers. Every year we have a summer intern. We just closed that application period. And we have some fellows that are visiting fellows that are experts on different issues, whether it's taxation or public education. I mean, they help write papers or doing research or things like that.
Eric, we're going to take a commercial break, okay?
And absolutely.
Fairbanks is going to give you a little bit of bumper music. Then we're going to the Fox News, State News, some commercial weather, and then we'll be back. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Tom Saucier. Don't call it Fort Hood in Texas anymore. The military installation has renamed itself Fort Cavazos this morning after former four-star Army General Richard Cavazos, one of nine military bases, recommended for a name change there. Third Armored Corps Commander Lieutenant General Sean Burnaby notes the base vastly different from when it was built during World War II.
This post has grown to become one of the largest military installations in the world, consisting of over 218,000 acres. It is one of the few installations capable of housing and training two armored divisions simultaneously.
What to do with the southern border with Title 42 expiring this Thursday? On the Fox Business Network, Representative Pat Fallon with some thoughts.
You're not safe, then you're not free. We don't even know who these people are that are coming across the border. And Joe Biden's policies have empowered the cartels.
America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Authorities in Alaska are searching for two overdue climbers in Denali National Park and Preserve whose last known tracks disappeared at the site of an avalanche. Park officials say Eli Michael of Columbia City, Indiana, and Neofoon Awal of Seattle were last known to be near Moose's Tooth, a 10,300-foot mountain. The two last checked in with friends via a satellite communications device on Friday. When friends hadn't heard from them again by Sunday, they contacted rangers. Park rangers followed the climbers' track to a recent small avalanche. An aerial search around the avalanche and a ground search continued yesterday. And finally, it's official. The Neenan Ice Classic tripod stopped the clock at 4:01 p.m. yesterday, Monday, May 8th. The tripod fell onto its side more than 24 hours ago, but did not stop the clock. Neenan Ice Classic officials are pulling tickets now and expect to announce winners later today. The Neenan Ice Classic website says that the jackpot this year is $222,101, and that will be split by all the winning guesses.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
The planning, reservations, the anticipation. Yes, it's that time of year. Plan your trip to Valdez now, and here's what you'll hear this summer.
I've never seen quite this many fish ever.
It hooked me. It is so fun.
There's no better place to start planning your Valdez adventure than ValdezFishDerbies.com. See pictures of last year's Derby-winning halibut and silver salmon. Find charters and check out dates for events like the Halibut Hullabaloo, Kids Pink Salmon Derby, Tagged Fish Contest, and Women's Derby. ValdezFishDerbies.com.
Aches and pains keeping you down? McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine has the only certified primary care sports medicine physician in Fairbanks. Dr. Malcolm offers a variety of treatments to include ultrasound-guided injections, platelet-rich plasma or PRP injections, and stem cell therapies. These regenerative medicine techniques are cutting-edge and can help your body heal itself. Dr. Malcolm can perform these procedures in office without the need for surgery. Don't let pain get you down. Jump back into life with McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. Call 456-3338 today.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio. And Eric, you're calling in from Palmer.
That's right. I'm calling in from Palmer. Today is one of those days that I'm working remote.
Oh, boy. Now, let's talk about the school choice and healthcare cost reductions, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we continue to talk about the things that Alaska Post Forum looks at, you know, opportunities and freedom. And that includes, in the case of public education, school choice. We looked at good policies that promote school choice like charter schools, homeschooling, even things like CTE, career technical education. I think it used to be called VOCED. I'm trying to remember the current term now. And there are several policies that are moving through the process right now that would promote and strengthen school choice in Alaska. So, for example, one of them is one of the policies being debated is having the State Department of Education become a charter school authorizer. Right now, the only authorizers are school districts, and we have seen that in states where they have multiple authorizers, there's a greater advantage for charter schools to just do better things and do more for students. Because unfortunately, a lot of the policies that we have in place, not just in Alaska, but nationally, but, you know, I'm just talking about Alaska, they're very cookie-cutter approaches to teaching, helping students. Teachers do such a great job, and they work so hard. My wife's a public school teacher, and but the way that things are structured is a very cookie-cutter approach. And when you have school choice, like charter school and homeschooling, and allow parents to help and kids to learn in different ways, you're helping those kids to succeed. And because not all kids learn the same way. It's just how it is. And so it's important to have school choice. For example, one of the things that we've noticed in the last few years, too, is there has been, because of COVID, there has been a better understanding about homeschooling, something that a lot of people before didn't even think about. And now, you know, with the COVID closures of school, in-person schooling, a lot of parents now realize that, well, you know, this homeschooling thing is actually not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And actually helps my kids in better ways. And in Alaska, we have some policies that could improve, starting by the funding. Homeschooling programs don't get funded at the same level as brick-and-mortar schools, yet we believe very strongly that funding should follow the student, not follow a building, but follow a student. That makes a difference.
Yes, it does.
You know, in California being a place where a lot of the policies would be more of concern than positive, I can tell you as a minority myself, many minority kids, when they're allowed to go to charter school, Hispanics, some Asian communities and African-American communities, they actually have a better chance of going to college. And the numbers have shown that there are more kids able to go to college when they attend a charter school versus those that are not able to. And so there's also a misconception that homeschool and charter schools in Alaska are not public schools. You hear an argument that says, they're just taking money away from public schools. Actually, in our state, all of them are public schools. The only difference is how it's structured, which is just one of those things that we also try to educate the folks so people realize that when you're talking about homeschooling or charter schools in Alaska, they are public schools. It's just structured differently.
Yeah. You know, you have Chinook Charter School, a few of them up here, and they do very, very well. And basically, they're put together by the families that wanted to have their kids in a charter school.
Correct. And, you know, Alaska's homeschooling programs are a big deal. And there are many, many of them, and there are many students that are enrolled. And I have seen information coming out, even from people that should know, that there's so many misconceptions, unfortunately. But kids, when given choices, are doing better. And there's no reason why kids shouldn't have more choices. And there's no reason why teachers should be supported even more. One of the recent reports that our analysts posted on our website shows that administrators are pretty much, there are more administrators than teachers.
Oh, boy.
That's a little bit concerning. And now,
very concerning, more than a little bit.
and, you know, reasonably, of course, you need certain, you know, professionals and paraprofessionals to help, paraeducators, but...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it does make you wonder why, you know, we should be supporting teachers more. And so those are some of the other things that we look at when it comes to education. It's information like that parents and community members and policymakers might not have available, or simply, it's not that it's not available, it's simply sometimes they don't ask about it or know that it exists. And a lot of times, it's not easily available. So when we talked earlier about transparency, in this case, we were talking about money. We're also talking about transparency in how policies work. And a lot of times, information about public education system is not easily available, and each school district does it differently. There's a policy being debated in the House for an online school district checkbook. And my understanding is that it's being well received, except that there's a lot of concerns by some of the local administrators that it's just going to be a non-funded mandate and things like that. But honestly, this is just transparency and allowing parents to know where the money's going.
Okay.
It's kind of a common sense thing, because if parents want to get information, it should be easy for them to receive. But anyway, so you asked about healthcare reform too. There are some policies that we've looked at and researched that could potentially help make our healthcare industry better and hopefully more affordable. So, for example, one of them is a really old law that still exists in Alaska that many, many states have already repealed. At one point, it was a federal law, and even the feds repealed it, because it's called the Certificate of Need law. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yes, I am, yeah. That stopped a lot of medical practices from expanding in Alaska.
Yeah. So any practice that wants to expand, or anybody that wants to start a new business, has to get permission from the Department of Health, and the Department of Health has to has to get feedback from other providers.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like McDonald's asking Burger King for permission to open.
Ain't gonna happen.
For the most part, it doesn't happen. And when we've seen comparisons of states that have repealed Certificate of Need versus states that have not, those who have repealed it have shown a decrease in healthcare costs. And so it's just one of those things that you think in Alaska we shouldn't have, particularly because we have some of the highest costs in healthcare, and we sometimes don't have enough healthcare providers. And laws like Certificate of Need make it even more difficult for a provider to invest, either by expanding or by moving here and opening a business. So
it does get interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. And they are built every single year. There have been policies and bills introduced to get rid of it. Sometimes they advance, sometimes they don't. This year, there's one in the House and one in the Senate. We've covered that in our newsletter. And we have a lot of material about Certificate of Need and the impact, the negative impact that it has, and the positive impact of feeling it, that we've shared with policy of the public. And so there's one more thing that we're looking at, which would be a good policy. I don't know if you're familiar with direct primary care. Direct primary care, and I'm not an expert on this, but direct primary care is basically when an individual and the medical provider have a direct service agreement.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like having a gym membership, in which a person will be able to, kind of like a subscription, like a Netflix, go to their heart provider, and they will receive X amount of services for a flat fee a month. Generally, it's not that high. There are 49 states that are already doing that. And sometimes it can include their labs. Sometimes it can include physical therapy. And in Alaska, right now, the law is written in such a way that if a doctor and a patient wanted to do that, it would be considered insurance. And so all the laws that apply to health insurance providers would apply to that. And it kind of doesn't make sense, because they're not an insurance provider. They just want to provide a service for clients that want to maybe spend less money or don't have insurance to be able to get services.
There you go. Eric, we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
Absolutely.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's finally starting to feel a lot like spring, and that means it's time for the Spring Milwaukee Sale at Denali Industrial Supply. Their Spring Milwaukee Sale prices cannot be beat, and with the largest selection and most inventory in Alaska, Denali Industrial Supply is the place to go for all your tool needs. You have a project? Milwaukee has a tool designed to make your job quick and easy. Stop by today and ask their friendly sales staff about the Spring Milwaukee Sale. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Just look for the big red roof.
Yes, Taco Thursday is a thing, and it happens every Thursday at Big Daddy's. Big Daddy's serves up the most amazing chicken tacos, complete with shredded cheese. These chicken tacos are delicious and filling, and you can enjoy them for just $1.50 each every Thursday at Big Daddy's Barbecue. And don't miss out on those sides as well, including fries, okra, baked beans. The menu is full of great ideas and great value. We'll see you for Chicken Taco Thursday at Big Daddy's on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd Avenues, the northernmost Southern Barbecue. Big Daddy's.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Maintaining your correct tire pressure improves safety, fuel economy, and tire life. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. GCR Tires and Service, Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
High of 56 today, under cloudy skies. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 35 tonight, cloudy. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 62. Overcast skies, Thursday, decreasing clouds by Friday. Low 60s, Thursday, mid-60s by Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Eric Cordejo in the phone with me. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
You enjoying yourself, I hope?
I'm sorry?
You're enjoying yourself, I hope?
Yep, well, absolutely. It's not snowing, at least in Palmer, but I heard that it was snowing in Anchorage again this morning, so I'm not sure what...
Yeah, Mother Nature is letting us know we live in Alaska.
Yeah, so I don't know how you guys are doing it, Fairbanks, but hopefully you don't have any snow anymore.
No, well, it's most of it's gone. Most of it's gone. You know, up in the upper elevations, you still have a little bit of remnants, but most of it's gone. What about sales taxes? You know, the state house, they have a Ben Carpenter down there out of Kenai. He's got a bill for a 2% statewide sales tax. Has your Alaska Policy Forum reviewed a statewide sales tax?
It's part of the report that I'm not specifically with, you know, those percentages, but it's part of the report that I mentioned earlier today, the effects of new personal taxes in Alaska, and that includes the sales tax. Sales taxes tend to be less burdensome, but it would cost a lot of money to implement, and it would certainly doesn't fill the gap when it comes to the budget deficit. I think that before policymakers consider taxes, they should consider having a responsible budget, which unfortunately they have not for many, many years.
True. Well, how about the Division of Occupational Licensing?
I'm so glad you asked about that. We've been every year there are policies that deal with occupational licenses. And in every state, there are hundreds of licenses that people have to get in order for them to work. So you have to ask permission to work. There are some licenses that are completely strange that you think they wouldn't require one, or there are some licenses that are extremely expensive that make it difficult for people to get, or the requirements are very onerous. Alaska actually is doing well. There was an index that came out maybe last month by the Arkbridge Institute that looked at all the states. Number one being the worst place with licensing policies, number 51 being the best, and Alaska made it to 44.
Okay.
And so that's pretty good, but it could be better. it could certainly be better because we have seen that there are many jobs that we don't have enough professionals to fill. Nurses being one of them, teachers being another one of them. And so there are policies that could be considered that would certainly help in those areas. For example, compacting of sticks. When you have the state of Alaska, for example, being a compact member of, let's say, physical therapist, that means that a member from Arizona, a person licensed in Arizona, that is, I'm just giving you an example. I don't necessarily know if Arizona is part of that compact, would be able to move to Alaska without having to redo the whole license.
Yeah.
Because there are professions that, you know, you think a nurse in Hawaii, you know, I don't think they're...
Much different here, reciprocity.
Exactly. There are bills on reciprocity. The governor, I believe, has some bills on temporary licenses for people to move. I mean, we shouldn't be making it difficult for people to be able to move. We should be making it easier for people to be able to move and work and do all those things because it's crazy.
Yes.
And so, like I said, I think this year there are a lot of occupational licensing policies being debated in the legislature. One includes speech pathologists. There's another one for naturopaths. There's one for nurses, there's one for physical therapies, and then the ones I mentioned from the governor that they're temporary licenses. There are also some that would increase or change current policies and licenses. So there's one that would establish, I wouldn't say a new license, but a new category when it comes to counselors. There's one that deals with interior designers. So, I mean, there's quite a bit of bills, probably more than taxes this year, that are dealing with licensures.
There you go. Boy. It's it's never over, is it?
No, it's never over. You know, in Arizona, and this time it is Arizona, in Arizona they passed a policy that reciprocity, universal licensing, and hundreds of people have moved to the state in professions, especially healthcare professions, engineering, things like that, that wouldn't otherwise have been able to, or just simply would have not done it because it didn't exist. And so I don't see, and we don't see why Alaska couldn't become that kind of place, welcoming place for professionals to move. I mean, I realize that there are certain things in Alaska that are very Alaskan. You know, like engineering, probably, things like that. But a plumber in Minnesota that deals with winter and frozen pipes would not be that different from a plumber in Alaska.
True. It gets interesting.
Yeah. So I invite you to go to our website and look at the U.S. Index of Occupational Licensing Burdens. And like I said, Alaska is 44.
Out of 51, yeah.
One being the worst, and the last 51 being the best. And so it's fascinating. And the report has some very fascinating facts about some weird licenses. And so it's worth taking a look at it.
Do you ever get involved in analysis of, like, what ranked choice voting does?
Election issues, I mean, we look at what issues that can promote transparency, for example, voter rolls, making sure that, you know, they're up to date so that numbers are actually accurate when they're being reported. And so we look at election issues. Right now, this particular year, you know, there are a lot of election issues moving through the process, whether it's repeal of ballot measure 2 or whether it's limits on campaign contributions or absentee ballots, you know, cybersecurity. There are so many to look at, and so we do pay attention to that. Right now, there's not a very strong policy position on some of those issues, but we're definitely taking a look at that.
Okay. What are you looking at in the future of things to take a look at?
Well, you know, implementation, one of the things that Alaska Policy Forum did a few years ago is promote read by nine legislation. So when it comes to school and kids learning to read, you know, really well by age nine,
yeah,
all the stories point that that's a very successful way of helping kids. And so we work with Senator Tom Begich and the governor, and last year, finally, after many years of trying, the policy passed in the legislature. So, for example, long-term goals is just making sure that it actually gets established the way it was meant to, that there's some sort of accountability, that the policy that passed actually goes through. Because sometimes policy passed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get implemented correctly or that the departments are going to follow through.
Very true. Very true.
And we have other projects that involve, you know, education and creating databases for people to obtain information, but those are more long-term projects.
Do you have a website where people can go to check you out?
Absolutely. AlaskaPolicyForum.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we're always happy to get feedback. And I encourage you and your listeners to go read our material.
Yeah, you guys cover a plethora of items.
Yeah, absolutely. Tons of work for many years.
So if you're interested in an item, you can just go to Alaska Policy Forum, www.alaskapolicyforum.org, and look up and start getting educated on what it is about, and make your own determination.
Absolutely. And we have anything from videos to radio interviews. We also have a YouTube channel, and you know, we try to help as much as we can. We also host webinars every few months. Generally, they're open to the public, so it's you know, that's how we do it. That's how we reach out, not just to policymakers, but to the public in general.
When's the next time you're coming up through Fairbanks?
I haven't planned, but I should definitely go visit Fairbanks. It's been several years, and I should definitely go on.
Several years? Really?
Yeah, it's been several
bad
years. Bad. Certainly need to.
I'm scolding you on the air, Eric. Yeah, come on up. You know, enjoy yourself. Meet the people. We have some of the finest people you're going to come across. We have a very diverse economy and diverse philosophy up here. And so I think you could do well up here. I really do.
That sounds great. I will definitely let you know when I get an opportunity to head up there.
We got about a minute left, sir. How do you want to end it?
I don't know if you have any other questions. You know, like I said, we're a policy think tank and nonpartisan 501c3. We don't take sides on bills. We take sides on policies.
There you go. Well, yeah, I greatly appreciate your time here, and you have a great day, and I'll talk to you later, okay?
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye, Eric. And Fairbanks, that is our show for today. It's been a good one, a little bit of this, a little bit of that with the Alaska Policy Forum. Very extensive background and information. You have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.